outstanding contribution of our comrade Colin to the workers' movement and to the building of the Revolutionary Party in particular. It's a near impossible task to adequately recognise and appreciate 30 years of phenomenal work and solidarity. So what we're going to try and do today is to show our respect and some recognition for Colin's incredible role over three very tough decades, as we said. And we're going to do that over the next couple of hours through music, through a few speeches, and I'm sure Comrade will have anecdotes and points they want to raise themselves, and there'll be food and things like that later on. But with Colin's agreement, I think we're going to jump straight into a rousing version of Viva La Quinta from the Brothers McCabe.
A comradeship of heroes was laid, from every corner of the world came sailing the 5th International Brigade. They made this land unite, this fight to try and stem the rise in fascist times. My God, you were powerful and wealthy. My pride sent me from the other side. Even the Isle of Merlin, at the Battle of Armageddon, the ones are on. Truth and love against the force of evil. Brotherhood against the fascist clown. Viva la Quinta Brigada. No pastor and the pledge I made a voice. And that day was the cry around the hillside. Let us all remember them tonight. Our leader was the Church of Ireland's pastor. From the Larry across the Pyrenees he came. From there he became a brave young Christian ruler. Side by side we fought and died in vain. Tommy Woods, age 17, died in Cardona. With the theatre he learned to hold a gun. From Dublin to Villa Rio, where he fought and died beneath the Spanish sun. Viva la Quinta Brigada. No pastor and the pledge and the other voice. Adelante was to cry around the hillside. Let us all remember them tonight. Many Irishmen they heard of all of Franco. John Hitler and Mussolini too. Propaganda from the pulpit and newspaper. Men of cloth, they failed again. When the bishops blessed the blue shirts in the prairie, and they sailed beneath the swastika in Spain. Viva la Quinta Brigada. No pastor and the pledge of hail and light. Adelante was the cry around the hillside. Let us all remember them tonight. It's Viva la Quinta Brigada. No pastor on the place and made of the mind. Adelante was the cry around the hillside. Let us all remember them tonight. Viva la Quinta Brigada.
Give Colin a chance to explain, guys. Rita, would you give us a blast?
Yeah. Colin,
like this song, so I hope you do. Sing Red Roses. So lots of these note words I can join in. If I start my notebook exercise. As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened pigeons, a thousand mill of clay, are torched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses. For the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses. As we go marching, marching, we battle to for men, for they are women's children, and we mother them again. No more the Trojan diamond again. A light shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. But starless world has bodies, give us bread, but give us roses. As we go marching, marching, unnumbered women dead, go crying through our singing, their ancient call for bread. Small art, no love, no beauty, their drudging spirits new. Yes, it is bread we fight for, but we fight for roses too. As we go marching, marching, we bring the greater days. For the rising of the women means the rising of the race. No more the drudge and idler, tend that toil for one reposes. But a sharing of life's glories, give us bread, but give us roses.
Colleagues, I've been asked to say a few words, starting maybe 30 years ago, when the militants decided that we wanted to build a branch in the northwest of the city, in the Ballymun area. And there was one that I would have been involved in, I think, 1986. And one of the first people that we met when we started doing the work out there was this chap called Colin Halpin, who was living in one of the seven towers. I can't remember Colin. Thomas Clark Tower. In 1986. And if I remember right, Colin, there was a group of people who were people who you knew who were to be involved in the discussions. I was trying to remember the names coming up on the train. I think Jimmy was one of them, was he? Jimmy Terrell. Yes. But it became very clear, I think, after the first one or two discussions that we had, that the person who was the most serious person in the group and the one who was most likely to join the militant was Colin Halpin. Colin was already a socialist at that stage, partly from life experience, but partly from books and ideas. Colin had lots of books and put a huge value on ideas and the ideals that we were discussing. I made the point that Colin got involved with the militant through life experience. Colin was very open and upfront about the fact that he had had difficult life experiences. The experience of industrial school, the experience of troubles and issues with the law at an early stage in his life, etc. I remember wondering at the time, because I knew that there were very few people in our movement who would have had such experiences in their early days and would have been able to grow out of that environment in order to be involved in the socialist and Marxist movement. But I shouldn't have had any doubts about it, because Colin did that. And it was to Colin's credit that he was able to do that. By the time that I moved to Cork, a few years after that, Colin was already, you would have to say, a hugely popular comrade in the ranks of our party, which he earned through his generosity, through the fact that there's no bullshit about him, and the fact that he sticks up for people. He's a comrade in the true sense of the term. Very defensive of the rights of young people, of women, within the ranks of the organisation. And anyone who dared to step on the toes of comrades, Colin would be there to defend comrades. I think Colin has had a particular dislike of the youth defence organisation that's quite active in Dublin at the time. And I think anyone who stepped on the toes of comrades at that time, Colm introduced a tactical manoeuvre into the arsenal of Marxism at the time. If anyone has ever seen the Ballymore flying head, I know Colm, I'm not going to perform it at all. But one of the things that Colm does is that, in the same way as if you were writing, you would end a sentence with a full stop. Colin will also will end a sentence that he speaks with a laugh. Like, it might be a laugh of delight, almost like a kind of a childlike delight when he's explaining something, or a laugh of scorn. And you would not want to be on the wrong end of Colin's scorn. One group of ideas that Colin is very scornful of is religious ideas. I remember that from quite an early day in our discussions. And Colin is very animated when he speaks. It's not really a great Irish characteristic. It's more like a continental thing, you know? Is that when he's making a point, that his hand, you can see it in his hands, and his eyebrows, you know? And his eyes will grow very big, you know? And he'll talk about religion, pie in the sky, and all that. Madness. I am a really scornful laugh, which makes me love him, but in any down through the years, I would have spent a bit of time with Colin at conferences, and maybe you'd be in the centre and you'd bump into Colin and say, "How are you?" for a few minutes as you're running up and down the stairs or whatever. I had a very enjoyable afternoon a couple of weeks ago in Mick and Lisa Maher's house, where Colin was relaxing for the afternoon while comrades were painting the flat and so on. And Colin told me with great pride the story of his grandfather, William Halpin, who in the 1916 Rising was an activist with the Irish Citizen Army. He told me the story of how, was it at Dublin Castle? Just beside Dublin Castle in City Hall, that the commanders of the unit, I think, fell in the course of the fighting, and that the command of the unit was taken by Colin's grandfather. So there's a bit of history there as well. I'm sure that if Colin's grandfather was around, he would be hugely proud of the work that Colin has done. And I know that all of the comrades here are hugely proud of the work that Colin has done and a huge contribution that he's made to build in this organisation and Mark's studios over the last 40 years. A fair play to you, Conrad, and I hope it's a good day.
And Roland Coppinger, names.
It's Kevin Kelly.
Put you at home, you get
hits you if you're clever and it is bad mood. You're so fucking crazy you can't follow the rules. Working class hero is something to be. Working class hero is something to be. And if tortured and scared you, 20 odd years.
Chatted back and forth a bit that day, or at that point, he saw me a paper, and he asked me the question after a while. He said, "Are you interested in politics?" And that question arguably changed my life. For a 16-year-old, at then I was out of school, didn't take myself very seriously, and to be taken seriously by someone who was doing something that I instantly recognised as important had a profound impact on me and altered the course of my life, certainly. I was with Cheeky Blackness, not your kind of politics, I mean, but making a point because I was still struggling with other politics at the time. The week after, the next day, I left a phone, a voicemail, and then I was shit myself for the next day when someone got back to me because I didn't know who had left the message was saying I wanted to join and get involved, because the paper column sold me, had a very bold headline, "Working Class Betrayed." I read a cover to cover, and after reading it, I considered myself a member, but I still panicked about who was going to turn up my door after the phone message I left in 141 Thomas Street. The following week, I went to my first branch meeting. Colin was there, and I went every week after that, of course. The branch meetings were held in the Old Brogue in Dorset Street. Colin lived on the North Circular, I lived in Cabra East, so we would walk up home every Monday. I never opened my mouth at the branch meetings. The first meeting I went on a bit, and then for a year or more, I never opened my mouth again. But on the walk home, Colin would always see it to the top of the road. I got fundamental schooling in the Bolsheviks. It was almost Colin, make us quite right, Colin was very, he gesticulates a lot. So it was like watching the October Revolution in real life, you know? as we were walking up Lessingham Street and on the way up home. Colin showed, I hope I've learned from this more than anything else, but Colin showed incredible patience with me. That first conversation began a longer conversation that went on for years, where Colin won me away from backward ideas of nationalism and all the nonsense that comes with that. He won me away with vivid stories of solidarity, daily French flour mills, all these things, telling in real time stories and battles that he'd gone through, so I felt like I was almost there. And it put it into context for me that there is differences, we're not all the same. These ideas are much more profound than the ones that I was still hanging on to. I was also aware of Colin's scorn for religion. So it didn't stop me for about 3 years afterwards. Every time we walked past the church, I'd bless myself for an eye. I was full on and all, still bless myself. Colin took it very well, never opened his mouth, but I felt he was setting intentions up himself. This is where I never caught on, you know. Colin didn't just educate me, he had a huge impact on my family. My brother Tommy, who sends his deep apologies for not being here today. Colin would have been a regular visitor in the house, and you know, in terms of convincing my ma, if you like, that of what I was doing, Colin represented a working class respectability, and the conversations he had. Yeah, Joe Higgins, Kevin, but none of them would have been. The only person who could really convince me mad that it wasn't something mad or madder than she feared was Colin. Colin again was very patient with me ma. My ma was convinced that she lived socialism in the tenements and in the liberties, and Colin never contradicted her. And he would patiently talk to her. He won, I would say, Tommy, my brother, to the ideas of the party and to class struggle. And so again, not just myself, and my sister, who I never found. Had an impact on her, and I'll explain very briefly now why. Colin has been a constant in my life since I was 16, but in terms of, you know, people can just be there and you take it for granted. When myself and five others, including Tommy, who mentioned, went on strike against Batu, it was a trade union, it was a difficult, it wasn't a sexy strike, you know, it was against the big multinational. It was a strike we were sometimes conflicted and found difficult. Colin just cut through it. He put in context what you were doing and that we were right to respond back. Now, Tom and I would have expected solidarity from the party, and we got it. But the solidarity that Colin showed on that picket line, it was in spades. You just couldn't have predicted that anyone. Colin was almost like an extra striker. at a certain point. Now, even at that, we probably would have understood that that's what you do. But for the other strikers who aren't political, who've never been on strike before, the financial support from Colm, the solidarity from Colm was profound. That strike lasted almost a year. There was days when we would have just packed up and gone home, except strikers who weren't comrades said, we can't go because Colm will probably come down. We should hang on. And it helped us keep that strike going for as long as it did, and it ultimately helped every one of the people involved in that one, and we got money from the ultimately came to an accommodation at the end. He did save me, which he came out to me several times afterwards from getting a few blows to the head one day. It was just me and Colm sitting on the picket line, and I lost a head with some fella that came up, and Colm physically drew himself in between us and read me the riot act after that, you know. I'll never be able to thank Colm enough for that. But it wasn't just calling up, it's almost by being around Colm, by learning from him, learning the absolute vital cornerstone of the workers' movement, and it's what, if I have to sum Colm up in one word, of what he represents to me, it's solidarity. And our movement is nothing without solidarity. Colm embodies solidarity and struggle, which is the only way we'll achieve socialism. So I thank Colm from the bottom of my heart, and we'll take a break now when we want to.
Thank you.